Welcome to the Future of Supply Chain. Each episode, we bring together leaders across the supply chain space to discuss the role of technology and business model innovation on the future of supply chain. The Future of Supply Chain podcast is presented by Dynamo. Dynamo is a pre-seed and seed stage supply chain investor. To learn more about Dynamo and this show, head over to www.dynamo.vc/podcasts or subscribe on the platform of your choice. Now let's get into the show. Here's our host, Santosh Sankar.
Hey, ladies and gents, welcome back to the Future Supply Chain podcast. I'm your host, Santosh Sankar. And joining me today, we have Dynamo's very own portfolio leader, Mark Monge, co-founder, CEO of AmiTruck. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Santosh. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we're going to jump in and we're going to talk about AmiTruck, the freight opportunity in Africa in detail. But I'd love to just start off with a quick 90 seconds on what you are building over there in Nairobi.
Right. So we're kind of putting together our digital platform that connects transporters directly with cargo owners. And this, I think maybe some background might be helpful because otherwise it wouldn't make much sense. But in Africa today, transport makes up about 70% of the cost of goods sold. And 80% of goods are moved by road. The market is very fragmented, so it's left itself open to literal informal middlemen. And that means there's a lack of security, it increases the cost of labor in transporting goods. So AmiTruck solves this problem by making this direct connection between the shipper and the transporter, cutting out expensive middlemen. And then we offer other services such as we ensure goods are insured, we make sure the entire process is seamless, which means that through our platform, vehicle shippers can access secure, efficient, and well-priced transportation for their goods.
And so kind of what's your story? How did you get into the world of, you know, trucking logistics in Africa?
Wow. It's quite a bit of a long story, but I'm an ex-investment banker and I worked in the capital markets in London. But prior to that, I self-funded my mathematics degree by driving a truck full-time at night in and around Heathrow Airport, and then went on to a long career in banking in the City of London. I worked for Blue Crest Capital Management. I worked for Pictet Asset Management. I spent some time in the private equity markets. So I ran a mine in Canada, an oil rig business in Ecuador, and a dredging startup in the Great Lakes of China. And then eventually I got the urge to do something more meaningful with my time. I wanted to build something. I wanted to come back home and sort of leave a legacy. And that's when the idea of AmiTruck came up. And both of the time seemed to work well. And it culminated in me starting up AmiTruck in late 2018, trying to use technology to bring transparency to logistics in Kenya.
And, you know, I want to kind of break down the freight opportunity in Africa. And this might be a very open-ended question, but what do people need to know about freight to embed technology in the freight market on the continent? Because I don't think a lot of individuals in developed markets necessarily understand the current state and where you see the opportunity very clearly.
First thing is to note that when we speak about Africa, it's huge. It's a huge continent. So we think the market size is about $200 billion. And historically, it's been growing at 7-8%. I know there's a lot of talk on the infrastructure gap, and it's true. There is a bit of that. But actually, when you look at the easiest way to get goods around, it still remains by road, because part of the infrastructure that's not been built out is airports and rail. Those where they are very scant. So you can't really rely on those to get goods to people. I think the other thing to note is that it's a very young population. So when I left Kenya in 1995, there were just over 20 million people. When I came back in 2018, there were 55 million. Most of them are below 30, in fact, majority are below 18 years old. So the rate of family formation and the growth in demand for goods is it rises year on year. The other thing is that we have very high mobile penetration. So there's an opportunity to use technology to connect individuals with transporters in that way. The other opportunity I see, a couple of catalysts I see on the horizon. I mean, the first one is simply the fact that e-commerce, while growing, and even in Nairobi, where we say it's a much more developed market, e-commerce is only about 2% of all goods sold at the moment, with some categories like phones and going at around 40%. So there's definitely room for the rest of them to normalize and start approaching where the more developed markets are. And then finally, we're in the back end of agreeing the African Free Trade Zone Agreement, which connects local companies to the entire continent. So that brings a market of about 1.4 billion people together. And maybe that can help start seeing value-added products being sold locally across the continent, which is a huge opportunity both for the continent and for those in transport. So those are sort of the areas that I think are quite exciting.
How does AME Truck fit into how you think about the opportunity? And I guess kind of opening this question up, like who do you serve ideally on the shipper side? What are the types of customer profiles that are best suited for leveraging what AME Truck brings to the table?
Yeah, so I think this is a developing answer every day. We initially started off by trying to sign up as big shippers as we could get our hands on. And that was just simply because we were looking for the biggest bang for our buck, if you like. But actually, the platform is set up in a manner that enables small and medium-sized businesses, which are majority of this market, to access transportation without having to lay out capital for, you know, trucks, which is a great benefit. So it enables supply chains without them having to commit capital or worry about compromising on quality of service. I don't know if that answers your question, Santosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you kind of look at your existing customer base, how are they managing their freight? How are they coping with the current structure of the market? And how have you in turn helped them, you know, solve that in a more effective way, so to speak?
Yeah. So, I mean, for the really large customers, most of them are actually running their own fleets. And the challenge with that is demand is, you know, always going to be cyclical for sort of road freight. And you have to keep your fleet at maximum demand size and then, you know, run an idle fleet for a few months a year. So for those guys, what we've enabled them to do is to actually reduce or completely dispose of their internal fleets and use us. I think for the smaller customers who are relying on informal brokers to connect them to transportation, they really enjoy the way in which we aggregate the fragmented supply base for them. We also enable them to compare not just pricing, but quality of service across different suppliers and select transporters that are best suited to them only when they actually need them. So, the real issue with the market is that it's very fragmented. So 75% of the fleet is in vehicle sizes of 5 or less. So if you're sort of medium or large and you're relying on external transporters, you're really talking to a lot of players at the same time. It becomes almost like a side, which can really consume a lot of resources internally trying to manage and make sure that everything is running smoothly. So with a platform like AME Truck, you're able to get all those consolidated. So you're only dealing with one person. You're dealing with one party, doing one invoice and, you know, paying one person. So that kind of is also another angle in which we think the shippers enjoy the platform.
So I do want to kind of talk about how you approach driver recruitment, driver relations. Could you tell us a little bit about AME Cares that folks can find on your website?
Absolutely. So the market, as we found it, really exposed, really pushed drivers to be able to cope with industry payment terms. I think that's where they started. And so a driver delivering for a large business might be asked to wait 90 days for payment. So one of the things we introduced very quickly was instant payments after drivers had finished, and then we sort of collect from the shipper later on. And then we realized there was a gap because some drivers maybe didn't have a smartphone that worked very well, but they didn't have a smartphone at all. So we connect them to financing partners who can enable them to access a smartphone. During the COVID pandemic, when schools were closed, we partnered with another startup called Eneza Education, which enabled our transporters to access free education for their kids. We've since also partnered with a local garage chain that enables them to access free vehicle checks, and we're working to push that through to maintenance and servicing. So these are basically products that we're putting together to try and make a transporter or a driver's life much easier.
And, you know, the one thing I was super impressed with when we were originally digging in and understanding what you were building was your technology. And what stood out was the level of leverage you were providing employees, drivers, shippers. Could you describe the technology enablement you have for our listeners? Because I do think it's still a great model, regardless of what continent you're on. There's a lot to be learned from this.
Yeah. So if we start at one end, which is the shipper facing user interfaces, so that can be the online portal or the mobile apps, it basically enables a shipper to come online and tell us everything about the load. So the pickup, the initial pickup point, and all the places he'd like the load delivered to. And sometimes it can be more than one place. And the system basically allows the shipper to use a drop of a pin, a road name, a business name, or even longitude and latitude. Then they kind of pick what kind of vehicle they'd like to use. So, and we have everything from, you know, sort of the smaller vans and pickups all the way to the large articulated 28-ton trucks. And then they can give instructions and very detailed descriptions about how they want their load delivered. They can make referenced notes so that they can come back and into why they made a particular delivery. And then at the end of that, they basically make a request. And on the transporter side, what the transporters see on their apps is basically all the key details about that load laid out very simply. We calculate some of the distances, and we have a small mental model that kind of tells them what kind of pricing that sort of load has been achieving. And then they can also submit their own quotation, and they can compare that with anonymously the other quotations on the same job. The shipper can then have a look at sort of say, you can see the number of deliveries a transporter has done, his rating, his peer rating so far, and the price at which he wants to do that. And using that information, the shipper can then decide which transporter to use. And the entire process happens online, including the payment, which makes it really easy. And we've integrated M-Pesa, Kenya's digital money, into the platform, which makes it really seamless.
I would be curious your thoughts, like with all that in mind, how do you think about differentiation, working on the underlying fundamentals of the business, and namely in this type of a business model, it's margin, right? And for the last several years, this model has faced a lot of scrutiny, criticism, because it has not been clear. But it's very different at AME Truck. Some of that is market driven, but a lot of that is also driven by your philosophy, your approach to solving the problem.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we definitely noticed when we started, some of the competitors that some who have since left the sector and some who I think are still going, was that they tried to copy and paste a European or American model into the local market. And there's some challenges with that because, you know, the roads aren't as good, the infrastructure's poor, the systems that you're normally used to just don't work here. You know, for example, it might take you 10 minutes to load a large truck because you have forklifts in Europe. But when you come to Africa, that might not be the case. You might find that in Kenya, at least, you can go from zero to, you know, 5,000 meters in altitude. All these things add up to what problem you're solving, whether it's the cost of the vehicle or where you're shipping to. And some of those nuances mean that you need an African solution to solve an African problem. So we've been iterating locally and basically using customer feedback to develop the product and try and make it work here. And I think that's really helped. And many of the guys who are criticism basically have tried to use pricing to attract or grow their GMV, and that's really been difficult because it's B2B and price increases are really difficult to come by. I think our philosophy is we'll add value and customers will pay for value rather than we'll be the cheapest supplier on the block.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of shifting gears a little bit into business building, what's the hardest lesson you've learned so far in building a tech business in Africa, right? Because spent a meaningful part of your life in London, higher ed, you spent a part of your career also investing across Europe as well as Asia. But as you've come back home, what's kind of the hardest and maybe most surprising thing so far about building Amitrak?
I think I'm giving to myself. I think it's all been a lot harder, taking a lot longer than any plan could have predicted. It's almost like a construction project. It takes twice as long and costs twice as much as you thought it was going to. And I think it's just staying the course and consistently chipping at the block to make sure you're solving the problem. I think the other thing is maybe we've learned to stop, take note, and address the big hairy problems rather than outsource them or pass them along down the chain. I think those are some of the lessons I'm learning, is just to just buckle down and get on with it.
And for investors coming in, they have not invested in the region, how should they educate themselves, or perhaps what should they educate themselves around? Because we oftentimes face questions around, you know, governance, stability of markets, regulation. What's your response? You're actually doing this day to day to those types of concerns and questions.
Yeah, I think those are legitimate concerns for the market. But I think the other side of that coin is that's why the opportunities exist. And entrepreneurs on the continent are busy trying to circumvent, you know, whether it's governance or it's lack of infrastructure or, you know, so there's a lot of entrepreneurs on the continent using tech to try and work their way around that. I think one of the things I'd say is definitely spend some time here, speak to other partners who've actually built something, and definitely get some help kicking the tires. You know, the reality when you're here locally can be very different from maybe what you see on the deck. So it's nice to just understand the market more thoroughly and even speak to some of the local investors and local founders who can give you maybe a more, you know, a more 3D clearer picture of what's going on.
Indeed. And, you know, I want to kind of wrap up here on a fun note. What's Mark's favorite thing to do on weekends? How do you spend your time when you're not building Europe's fastest growing freight platform? Fastest growing freight platform.
Yeah, since I got back, I've realized that I'm always sort of not more than an hour from great natural beauty. So I spend a lot of time in the outdoors, got loads of wildlife. I've also been blessed with a 1.5-year-old baby girl. So I spend a lot of time with her on the weekend. And I have an 85-kilo Bobo dog, which I like to walk.
Well, with that, Mark, I appreciate you taking the time here, sharing your story, sharing the Amitrak story, but equally educating us on the opportunity you're so thoughtfully approaching. Cheers.
Thanks for those kind words. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you liked. And be sure to head over to podcast.dynamo.vc to keep up to date with our latest content, or subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Until next time.